Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri River Monthly Update. Today's Basin Conference call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors and emergency managers, as well as the media. I am Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines have been placed on mute. To unmute your line to ask a question, press star 6. The force mute function does not work on all phones, so if I ask, please place your phone on mute using its mute function and do not put the call on hold. If you've used your computer to dial in, you may also need to click the microphone on your screen to come off mute. The question and answer session will be at the end of the call. Our agenda today is as follows. From the NOAA National Center for Environmental Information, Doug Kluck. From the National Weather Service Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, Kevin Lau. And the Missouri River Water Management Division will provide an update on inflows, reservoir storage, and release plans. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Doug Kluck.
All right. Hey, thank you. And I'm assuming you can still hear me. So thanks for the Corps and all of you for getting on and listening to me jabber here about what has happened and what may happen in the future. So look back at last year first, just out of interest mostly, but also kind of setting the stage for where we are. If you look on the left, you'll see the temperatures for last year were pretty much well above normal across most of the Missouri Basin states. Much higher than normal in Minnesota, of course. And then if you look to the right, you see a percent of normal precipitation for last year. And unfortunately, you see areas in red there that are very dry, less than 70% of their normal precipitation, and a few spots less than 50% of normal. You can look kind of generally at this area, the Missouri Basin, and you can generally see that most of the area is at a deficit. In other words, less than 100% of normal precipitation last year. Yellow areas to sort of that light green is pretty near normal, to be honest with you. And the blues and purples are above normal. And unfortunately, some of those darker shades came in a big hurry. They were noted major precipitation events. For example, the southeast portion of South Dakota, major flood there, but all came very fast. So in terms of effective precipitation, it probably wasn't very effective other than to cause a flood. Anyway, just look at the dominance of the red, light browns area in terms of much of the region. Next slide. And so just the last 90 days, pretty much before the major cool down that we had. And if you remember, this fall was hot. it was extremely warm. So that's what this image on the left reflects, is that we were anywhere from 2 to 6, and in a few cases, 8 degrees above normal for that 90-day period, extending into early January. And on the right, you see that percent, again, of normal precipitation, where it looks like some of the lower basin, much of the lower basin, for that matter, was fairly wet, especially as you got into Kansas and portions of Iowa and southern Nebraska, eastern Colorado, although a lot of that doesn't flow into the Missouri. Upper basin, relatively dry. Now, I will say one thing about this percent of normal is this is the percent of normal during a pretty dry time of year. So take that into account as well. It's not like we're talking about May, June, and July. But nonetheless, for places that were dry, it's kind of continued to the north, especially north and northwest of, well, where I am in Kansas City. Next slide. This is just looking at snowpack values this year on the left and last year on the right. And it's very, very hard to see those, but you can go by the color. Yellows and oranges and reds are well below normal, and greens and blues and I guess purples are considered above normal. And you can look at, if you can squint, you can actually see the values in there. But let's just say the greens are close to normal. The yellows are, we'll say slightly to a little below, or slightly below normal, and the oranges are well below normal. But compared to last year, at this time, we're better off than we were. And well, we'll get to the forecast in a minute, but things do look up if the forecast is right. So on we go. This is the current Plains snowpack image. This is sort of modeled. But anyway, what you see here is that much of the High Plains has some sort of snow cover on it. Now, it's the least amount of snow cover one can have when it comes to the gradient up there on the right, the legend. We're talking a trace to an inch of water equivalence, which isn't very much. Even in the Dakotas, there's Dakotas and places that often have a snowpack by this time of year don't. And that's a little unusual. Unfortunately, here in Kansas City, we do have a snowpack, and it's considerable. And we had a major snow, and it's pretty darn cold. I know I shouldn't complain, but I'll also say generally there's sort of a deficit in not so much in coverage, but in depth of moisture across the region, across the basin. Next slide. And this shows that deficit in terms of snow depth, not so much water equivalency, but depth. So, like I said before, the Dakotas and eastern Montana, Wyoming, even Nebraska show a dearth, if you will, of snow depth, whereas Kansas, eastern Kansas into Missouri shows more than normal. Next slide. Soil moisture, for what it matters, I know it matters, but this time of year, sometimes you take these things with a grain of salt, but you can see where these yellows and oranges and light browns in on the left image sort of pair up to some degree with the same colors, I guess you'd say, not orange and red, but show a lack of soil moisture across much of the basin. Okay, let's just go to the next slide. So looking at the next 7 days in terms of precipitation, there is, I guess you'll say, there is hope for some of that across Montana for sure, and where the darker greens and blues are. And then maybe in the western Dakotas and down into Colorado, there's potential for some precipitation. Not crazy amounts, but at least something's happening. Whereas you go further south and east, you see the chances for precipitation, or actually the amounts of precipitation, really slack off. And that's okay where I live. we don't need it. So you can see that it's sort of the western areas favored to get precipitation, whereas the eastern portions of the basin are not. Next slide. The week following those 7 days, January 15th to the 21st, on the left, show that kind of bluish, well, blue over the entire basin, with slightly stronger probabilities being darker colors in terms of darker blues. It looks like it's going to stay cool on the cool side, and very cold if you go way over to the east, much below normal off the Atlantic coast. And then in terms of precipitation on the right, there's a slight leaning towards above normal precipitation across the High Plains and into the mountains there, which is a good thing for those who need snow. And, you know, this is a slight probability shift. It's not huge. Near normal for much of the lower basin, by the way. Next slide. So looking a little further out, January, February, and March, this is our best guess in terms of the way things will unfold. In terms of temperature and precipitation, temperature on the left shows a slight leaning towards below normal temperatures across eastern Montana, Dakotas, eastern Nebraska, into down into Missouri. Whereas there's this band, if you will, of equal chances being there between that lower temperatures and above normal temperatures just to our west. So that line can shift and will left and right in terms of equal chances and below them. And so we're sort of in a La Nina situation where we would more expect the northern states to be below normal in terms of temperature at this time. But the outlooks are sort of hedging towards more cold air outbreaks to our east, or to the east, eastern part of the U.S., and continuing that warmth to the west, western U.S. I guess the good news, and this is what I referred to a little bit earlier, was this precipitation map. I'm sorry, I have the wrong maps in here. Wow, that's not good. So here's what I'm going to do real quick, because I have just January in here, and I am going to have to do a quick, Ryan, you didn't catch this. I'm going to do a quick shift so that I can go look at what the Climate Prediction Center is saying for the next 3 months. I don't know how I did this. But anyway, let me go back and start over again for January, February, and March. And you're just going to have to listen to me, because the slide does not reflect this. January, February, March, below normal temperatures, basically western Minnesota all the way to the Pacific coast. There's a slight leaning towards below normal temperatures. There's also from western North Dakota or Dakotas, western Dakotas west is a signature for above normal precipitation, which would be great for snowpack if it occurs. Now, both those things I just described are very, if you will, La Nina-esque in terms of what we expect to happen. So if as long as La Nina is sort of in effect, that's the pattern we expect to see. Below normal temperatures to the north and west, and above normal precipitation chances also north and west across our basin. The rest of the basin, by the way, is pretty much equal chances in terms of temperature and precipitation. I'm going to go back to the meeting now. I apologize for having to do that. Next slide. So I guess coming back to the drought theme here for a minute, this on the left, and I think this is current. Yep, current until tomorrow. Looking just at the Missouri watershed, you can see that most of the basin, most of the basin, almost 90% of the basin has some sort of drought or abnormal dryness to it. That's not a great position to be in this time of year. It'll be worse if this holds on until spring, but hopefully some of that's going to change with the outlooks that we just described. I've sort of blocked in the current versus 1 year ago, just to compare in terms of numbers, percentages of the basin in different levels of drought. And a year ago, over 50% had absolutely no drought or abnormal dryness. Now only 10% has no appreciable drought or abnormal dryness. So we're on the dry side going into winter, and we'll see about spring. On the upper right panel, you'll see the drought monitor class change. In other words, over the last year, how has things shaken out last year till now? And just as you would expect, a few places, especially to the south and east, got a little wetter, but for the majority of the basin, we've been drier. Okay, so no surprise. That's what that map over on the left shows. And then on the right, or the bottom right, I should say, is the outlook for drought. And this whole brown area across most of the basin indicates that there will be a persistence of drought, at least for this forecast, at least to the end of March. I hope it's wrong, and I actually hope that we can shave off more of that brown, if you will, in Montana and Wyoming if La Nina sort of takes hold and we get more storm systems through there. And there's a little bits of improvement, I guess, in western Montana, central Montana, things like that, but not enough. So we'll look for improvement there. Next slide. Current conditions, weak La Nina. We'll find out tomorrow officially whether we've reached La Nina criteria. We haven't as of today, but we'll see. Tomorrow we'll get the actual update on that forecast. Plain snowpack is sort of lacking. It's wide cover. It's widespread, but lacking. Mountain snowpack variable, but mainly below normal on the below side. Severe to extreme drought over much of the upper basin. Short-term outlook, temperatures generally below normal. Precipitation chances slightly enhanced for the high plains and mountains, which would be good. And then longer-term, slightly increased chances of above normal temperatures. I'm going to rephrase this because I think I looked at the wrong map. So long-term, being January, February, March, below normal temperatures or increased chances for that across the north and northwestern portions of the basin. And precipitation chances more or less for the same area are increased. The rest of the basin is equal chances of above, below, or near normal. You can actually hear a much better summary of what's going on in the north central part of the U.S., at this webinar that we have at the bottom of the page, January 16th, at 1 p.m. Central Time. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Doug. And we will move to Kevin Lau.
All righty. Thank you, Eileen. And good afternoon, everyone. As Doug mentioned, I too wish to thank the Corps of Engineers for inviting NOAA to take part in this series of calls. Snowpack conditions in the mountains can be generally categorized as below normal. The exceptions to this below normal condition in the mountains would be in the Milk River Basin, which is above normal, and in the South Platte River Basin, which is near normal. But the rest of the mountains, most of the mountains, the snowpack for this time of year is below normal. And by this time in the winter, we've normally accumulated about 50% of the seasonal peak snow water equivalent. So as I say every year, we still have a ways to go with regard to snow accumulating season in the mountains, and so things could still change. The January water supply forecast developed by the National Weather Service was issued last Thursday. Our January numbers suggest that the April through September mountain runoff volume will be below normal. Moving now to the plains, as Doug mentioned, we do have a fairly widespread but very shallow plains snowpack, even though locally to my office in eastern Kansas and Missouri, we did get 1 to 2 inches of snow water equivalent over this past weekend, but that'll be short-lived. As a basin, I think we made a good run last year to extract ourselves out of the drought, but it too was short-lived. And so, as Doug has already mentioned, we begin 2025 with 71% of the Missouri River Basin as being categorized in some level of drought. And so, not surprising, our soil moisture is lacking across most of the basin, and probably the worst conditions, the worst deficits are being in the are found in the northern portion of the basin, Montana, Wyoming, and the Dakotas. So far this water year, and the water year began on October 1. So far, we've had very little flooding within the basin. In fact, only one event really comes to mind, and it was a significant event. In early November, a heavy rain event occurred over central Missouri, and it dumped over 10 inches of rain across the Gasconade River Basin, and it resulted in moderate to even major flooding in the Gasconade River Basin. And I always like to say that flooding is possible within the basin any time of the year. River ice is beginning to come into play in many places within the basin, but to my knowledge, no significant flooding has occurred from ice jam formation as yet, but the risk for ice jam flooding is there and will remain through the season. Looking ahead, our office issues 90-day river outlooks toward the end of each month. The most recent 90-day outlook was executed on Christmas Eve, and it covers the three-month period through March. And the map that you see here on this slide depicts the results of that Christmas Eve 90-day river outlook at the 400-plus locations that we monitor across the basin. Flood risk on this map is denoted by the color of the particular river station, the dot, if you will, with green coloring, meaning that there's less than a 50% chance to see flooding within the next 90 days. Orange, meaning that there is a greater than 50% chance for minor flooding. Red, moderate. Purple for major. And so this map would indicate that over the next 90 days, we only have the likelihood of flooding, and it would be minor at that, would be for those locations in orange there in central Missouri. Risk for flooding between now and late March is dependent upon the timing and location of any plains snowmelt, rain on snow events, and rain events. And I'll hasten to add that this outlook, the dots that you see, do not take into account river ice. As we near the end of this three-month period, which would be, of course, late March, as I've said, we do have to begin thinking about thunderstorm activity, and thunderstorms do drive the springtime flood risk in the lower basin. The National Weather Service will be issuing its first official spring flood outlook on Thursday, February the 13th, so just a little over a month from now, and that outlook on the 13th will provide the first official Weather Service quantification of flood potential for this spring and early summer. Thank you, and this concludes the National Weather Service flood potential brief.
Thank you, Kevin, and we'll hand it over to John Remus from the Missouri River Water Management Division. John?
All right, thank you, Eileen, and thank you, Doug and Kevin, for your insights there. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River Main Stem Reservoir System. This is the first of our 2025 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the Corps of Engineers remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and businesses when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Further, it is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. Each runoff season or flood event is unique. Care should be taken when comparing one event to another. Recently, there has been a considerable amount of concern with the low winter releases from Gavin's Point Dam and the impact this may have on power generation in the lower basin. The Corps of Engineers understands the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs and the river reaches between the reservoirs and below the system to serve all water supply needs. In anticipation of severe cold snaps, We have the ability to increase system releases a little bit in an effort to mitigate some of the losses due to the water going into ice. I do want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water is the individual facility owner-operator's responsibility. Further, we will continue to meet our statutory requirements to operate the Missouri River Mainstream Reservoir System for its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 Biological Opinion. The final 2024-2025 annual operating plan was posted last month. You can find a copy of the AOP on our website. Lastly, the runoff forecast and projected reservoir releases and pool levels that Ryan Larson and Mike Swenson will be discussing are based on the best available information. Actual conditions may differ. This concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will now turn the discussion over to Ryan Larson.
Thanks, John. I'm on slide 17, Eileen. The 2024 calendar year runoff summation for the Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa was 23.3 million acre feet, or 91% of average, which was slightly less than the median runoff for the upper Missouri River Basin based on 127 years of record keeping. The 2025 calendar year runoff forecast for the upper Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa is 20.1 million acre feet, or 78% of average, and is highlighted in red. Now, moving to slide 18. The below average runoff forecast for 2025 reflects current drier than normal soil moisture in the upper basin, below average mountain snowpack, and below average plain snowpack. As seen on this slide, we are expecting below average runoff during the high runoff periods of March through April, typically when the plain snowpack melts, and May through July, typically when the mountain snowpack melts. Moving to slide 19. These graphics show the departure from normal snow water equivalent, or SWE. SWE is the amount of water contained in the snowpack that would be available for runoff or to replenish soil moisture when the snow melts. The December 15th graphic shows the lack of snowpack in the basin, with almost the entire basin showing a deficit in SWE, especially eastern South Dakota and North Dakota, where differences from normal range from negative 0.1 to less than 0.5 inches of SWE. Since December 15th, most of the basin has seen some plain snow accumulation, with the heaviest being in western Montana, Kansas, and Missouri. While the January 7th graphic is showing 0.25 to greater than 0.5 inches greater than the normal SWE over portions of the basin, these areas tend to have less SWE during the winter, so the total SWE over the basin is still low. The northern portions of the basin, where more snow typically accumulates, fell further behind than the median, with the areas of negative 0.25 to greater than negative 0.5 inches of normal SWE expanding. Moving to slide 20, mountain snowpack is accumulating at below average rates in both the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches. The mountain snowpack in the above Fort Peck reach is 85% of average, shown in the graphic in the left graphic, and compared to the highest and lowest peak snowpacks over the last 30 years, as well as the average snowpack for the reach. The mountain snowpack in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach is 75% of average, shown in the graphic on the right, and compared to the highest and lowest peak snowpacks over the last 30 years, as well as the average snowpack for that reach. It is important to note that close to 50% of the typical accumulation period has elapsed. The majority of the mountain snowpack typically falls from January 1st to mid-April. And now on slide 21. This graphic provides the status update for the Missouri River Monitoring Network as more stations were completed last year. There are now 295 of the 540 total sites completed and transmitting data, with another 170 scheduled to be installed in FY25 and FY26. All stations are scheduled to be installed by 2027. Each station is designed to measure meteorological data, precipitation, snow depth, and soil moisture and soil temperature at five different depths. Data provided by these stations help improve products such as the NORIS snow map shown in the previous slides and inform our runoff forecast. In summary, the 2025 calendar runoff forecast is 20.1 million acre feet, or 78% of average. I will now turn it over to Mike.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Gavin's Point releases reached the winter rate of 12,000 CFS on December 13th. Releases were increased up to 14,000 CFS on December 28th prior to the recent cold weather. Our current plan is to reduce releases to 12,000 CFS on Friday after the ice stabilizes. The Evans Point releases are expected to remain near 12,000 CFS through February, but will be adjusted as needed due to the cold weather. Garrison releases were set at 16,000 CFS in December in anticipation of the river freezing over in the Bismarck, North Dakota area. The river stage typically rises several feet in a short period during the initial freeze-in. Now that the ice cover is stabilizing near Bismarck, releases will be gradually increased, reaching 23,500 CFS in late January, downstream conditions permitting. Moving on to talk about the monthly studies or monthly simulations, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Ryan just discussed. Due to the amount of variability in precipitation and other hydrologic factors that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely runoff forecast. Information on the other simulations is posted on our webpage. Now, turning to slide 23 here, system storage is currently at 50.1 million acre feet. That's 6 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. Moving on to slide 24, and looking at the upper three reservoirs, Fort Peck, Garrison, and Waihi are currently 7.9, 2.6, and 10.6 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. In January and February, releases will be adjusted so the reservoirs are better balanced with respect to the percentage of water in their carryover zones prior to the start of the runoff season. The reservoirs will start this year's runoff season approximately 7 to 8 feet below the base of their flood pools. Moving on to slide 25. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. The navigation service level at the start of the navigation season is typically based on the March 15th system storage. Under the basic simulation, we would be providing flow support at a level 4,000 CFS below full service for the first part of the navigation season. For that level of service on the basic simulation, the Evans Point monthly average releases range from approximately 26,000 to 30,000 CFS. The service level for the remainder of the navigation season and the navigation season length are based on the July 1st system storage. Under the basic forecast, flow support for navigation would be reduced to approximately 4,500 CFS below full service after the July 1 check. There would be a normal 8-month flow support season. Moving on to slide 26. As noted in the annual operating plan and during the fall public meetings, there will be no test flows from Fort Peck Dam in 2025. Energy generation at the main stem dams in 2024 was 8.2 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. The forecast for 2025, and again, this is with the basic simulation, is 8.4 billion kilowatt hours. And the next slide here is the last one, and it shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown at the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the current conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. So I'll turn it back to you, Eileen.
Thank you, Mike. So our next call will be February 6th, same time. That is a Thursday instead of a Wednesday. We have 76 callers on the line. We'll start asking questions. We'll go in alphabetical order by state. Please state your name and the organization that you represent before asking your question. Press star 6 to come off mute or click the microphone on your computer screen. We'll start with the state of Iowa.
Yeah, Wes Fatma with Congressman Feenster's office. Just one question. And you're aware of it, but we've received contacts from MidAmerican and their power generation plant south of Sioux City. They were pretty excited when you folks increased the releases from Gavin's Point Dam. And now it sounds like you're going to go back to the 12,000 CFS.
That's correct. As soon as the ice cover stabilizes.
Okay. Will that affect them then, or?
It shouldn't. They weren't really affected the last time when we were down at 12,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I guess there was One of the Port Neal plants was affected for a little bit, but I think once the stage is stabilized, they should be okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? State of Iowa? Moving to Kansas, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming. Any national press or other questions before I hand it back to John Remus? Nothing heard. It's all yours, John.
Thank you, Eileen. As we move through the winter and into the spring, I want to encourage everyone to monitor our website for information on releases and pool levels. Also, please pay attention to the weather forecast and local conditions. Being on or near the water is inherently dangerous and is even more so when it is cold and or when ice is present. I'll offer one more last chance for questions before ending the meeting. Once, twice. With that, I'll end the call. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking to you on the 6th of February.
That concludes today's call.